You ready, sir? Good evening. Good evening. Good evening and welcome. This Monday, January 23rd, 2017, to the regular meeting of the Brexville Broadview Heights Board of Education here in the middle school at 7 p.m. on Mill Road. This is a meeting of the Board of Education in public for the purpose of conducting the school district's business. It is not to be considered a public community meeting. There is a time for public participation during the meeting as an indicated agenda items. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 2B is our school's foundation grant presentation.
At this time, that has been rescheduled for February. There was a conflict due to the scheduling meeting over at the high school.
Item 2C, school board recognition.
Thank you. In honor of School Board Appreciation Month, I would like to take an opportunity to thank each of you for your years of service to the Brexville Broadview Heights community. Your dedication to the fine education of our children is evident in your commitment to serve. Please accept this certificate of appreciation on behalf of the Ohio School Boards Association and our greater community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joelle, I forgot to ask, are there any additional agenda changes?
We have one additional amendment to add to tab 4 under the supplemental. We have an additional resignation that has been added since your board minutes that will be updated on the website after the meeting.
Thank you. Item 3 on the agenda is community communications, hearing of the public. Persons wishing to address the Board of Ed may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not included on the agenda until the board has had an opportunity to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing through the office of the superintendent. In order for the board to complete the planned agenda in an effective and timely manner, we limit this to a total of 30 minutes with 3 minutes per person. Is there anybody who would like to be heard this evening? I'm not going to call on you, just please come to the podium and thank you. If you could also just list your name and address, please.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Mike Paskert. I live at 9422 Highland Drive in Brexville, Ohio. And I'm kind of a triple threat tonight because I'm, first of all, my first job is a parent of a student in the district. I'm a taxpayer, and I'm proudly married to a teacher in the district. I won't take too much of your time. It looks like I'm going to take a lot of time because I brought this fancy brochure, but I want to thank the teachers that put this together. From the district, I think Mrs. DeFranco is this advisor. It's an interesting article. If you haven't read it, and I'm sure the board must have read it by now, Inside the High Breeze is an article about the cost of being a student in our district. And it's refreshing that it was written by students and their insightful view of how our district is run cost-wise. Thank you.
Thank you.
everyone. My name is Christy Nelson. I live at 4057 Lake Park Drive in Brecksville. I have a son in ninth grade and a daughter in seventh grade. We moved into the school district 14 years ago because we believed our children deserved the best education we could afford. Our children have had some of the most incredible teachers over the years and have received such a great education in this school district. If somebody would have asked me a couple years ago if they should move into Brecksville Broadview Heights for the schools, I would not have hesitated to say yes. But now I would caution them that our school district has a big downside. If their children were interested in doing any extracurricular activities, I would tell them to seriously reconsider. You see, our school has one of the highest, if not the highest, pay-to-participate fees in the state. The high cost didn't really start affecting our family until my son reached middle school, as the fees were fairly reasonable in the elementary school years. My son has been playing football since elementary school, and we have fully supported him in doing so. My husband and I go to all of the games. We began noticing that the opposing teams had double or even triple the number of players on their sidelines. Our boys took a beating on the field when they played against these bigger teams. A number of our athletes play the whole game without resting because we simply don't have any extra players to relieve them. The bigger teams outlasted them every time. We couldn't figure out why there weren't more boys playing in our school district. My husband began doing some research on what other schools pay for sports, and the information shocked us. We couldn't believe what we pay compared to other school districts. It was obvious and understandable that families just cannot afford the outrageous amount our school district makes us pay. Anyone who has ever played sports understands the concept of fairness. It is clear that students in our district are not being treated fair. As an example, next year we will have to pay $575 out of pocket for football alone, as opposed to the $100 to $200 we would pay if we lived in another school district. In addition to lower fees, other districts have a family cap, not of thousands of dollars, but of hundreds. Our school district doesn't. It's $1,000 per student. This is per student. My son decided not to participate in wrestling this year, and I'm a little embarrassed to say I was happy. Not for him, but for me, because I wouldn't have to write the $600 check to the district. I'm not saying families shouldn't pay at all, because that would be unreasonable. All I am asking is that the school district recognize that there are many, many families who couldn't afford to have their son or daughter participate in extracurricular activities. Many students have to pick between activities because they can only afford to pay for one. How can other school districts keep the cost down to families down if we can't? What is the Brecksville Broadview Heights School District doing wrong? I'm asking the school board to please change the fee structure. Look at North Royalton, look at Strongsville, make us comparable to schools surrounding our district. Every student should be able to participate in any activity they want, not just the ones their family can afford. This is unfair and leaves so many students behind. This district says that it strives to produce well-rounded students, but these fees limit the leadership, health, and self-esteem opportunities to only those who can afford it. And as a result, turns its back on those who could benefit from it most. I've always been proud to say I live in Brecksville. I love the city and especially the schools. I really want to tell the next person who asks me if they should move here for the schools, absolutely. The academics are excellent, and would really like to be able to say the cost to pay to participate is fair. Thank you.
My name is Jill Maroney, and I live at 16213 Waterford Drive in North Royalton. I am a proud alumni of the Brecksville Broadview Heights City Schools class of 1997. More importantly, I'm a kindergarten teacher at Chippewa Elementary. I've been with the district for 13 years, and I graduated from Cleveland State University in 2002 with a degree in early childhood education. At that time, it was a very difficult to find quality jobs in education, and because of this, I immediately went back to school to obtain my master's degree in special education to expand my expertise and to make myself more marketable. In 2004, I was blessed to be hired in Brecksville as a special education teacher at the middle school. It was a dream of mine to give back to my childhood community. I remember my first day at Brecksville Middle School as if it were yesterday. The weeks leading up to the start of school, the preparation, the paperwork, and ultimately all of my schooling did not fully prepare me for that day. No amount of schooling or student teaching can prepare a new teacher for the moment when you have to perform the high wire act without the net. Experience is a true teacher. There is nothing can take its place. Only time and effort can season a teacher properly. In 2010, after the birth of my second son, I found myself a first-year teacher again, this time at the kindergarten level. I had been a special education teacher at the middle school for 6 years, assisting eighth graders who were established learners. I found myself teaching children who were blank slates. This was a tremendous opportunity and a monumental challenge. It was like someone hit the rewind button and I was here again, a first-year teacher. I was the blank slate. I was having all the same anxieties and inexperiences that I had when I started out in my career. Not only was I changing grade levels, I was changing buildings as well. It was a very difficult transition from teaching teenagers to 5 and 6 year olds. I invested a lot of time and effort in treasuring classes focusing on early childhood tricks of the trade, so to speak. Personal time collaborating with elementary colleagues and essentially creating my own master teacher credential in the kindergarten level. None of what I learned after college can be duplicated or transferred through anything other than time. When the teacher leaves or goes to a different grade level or subject, they take with them, through no fault of their own, their experience. This experience is gold. It is priceless and cannot fully be transferred to another teacher. While our teachers are professionals in the truest sense of the word and remain committed to the education of the children in this district, they have over the last several years begun to feel undervalued and underappreciated. This district needs to recommit itself to recruiting and retaining quality educators. That can only be done through competitive, comparable salary and benefit schedules. My husband and I chose to live in North Royalton because of the excellent school district and the honest relationship between the teachers, the school board, and the administrators. North Royalton chose to set a positive example for the community and do things the North Royalton way. When it came to contract negotiations, all parties were satisfied and the morale is at an all-time high. Let's do everything we can to keep Brecksville a district where teachers want to teach for their whole career. Let's work together to develop a staff that will best meet the needs of all of our students in a partnership with their parents. Let's get this done the Brecksville way. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Laura Travers. I live at 7122 Ashlawn Drive in Brecksville. I'm a parent, community member, and teacher in the district. My husband went through the Brecksville Broadview Heights City School District and graduated in 1985. We chose to live in Brecksville 12 and a half years ago for two reasons: safety and good schools. We wanted our children to receive the best public education, and I believe that the teachers give them this amazing education. When my oldest son was 3 years old, we realized that I was the only person who could understand him. And a neighbor encouraged me to contact Stepping Stone Preschool. I did, and it was a fantastic experience for not only my son, but for me as well. Over the next 2 years, my son received speech and language services, and after kindergarten, was no longer in need of those services. My child went from being unable to articulate his thoughts and needs as a three-year-old to a very articulate freshman because of the passion, dedication, and expertise of his teachers. My youngest son is in seventh grade. He is currently in double advanced math and advanced science and has been challenged by his teachers throughout his school career. His teachers recognize his drive and push him to do his best. When he was in third grade, I was approached by his music teacher to be tested for being musically gifted. Again, a teacher recognizing something in my child and helping him to express himself. My decision to become a teacher came on the heels of a health crisis for me. I came to a realization that I wanted to find a fulfilling career, not just a job to pay the bills. I was working part-time, going to school full-time, and raising a family. It was very difficult, but by far the best decision I ever made. When I was hired by Brecksville Broadview Heights City School District, I really felt like I had landed my dream job, that I would be able to work here for the duration of my career. I am very passionate about teaching. I consider it to be my calling, and I love my students as if they were my own children. I want nothing but the best for them. And just as I pursued the best for my own children, I seek to develop the full potential of each of my students. As a parent, I thought the teachers were well supported in and out of the classroom. When I was hired, I assumed the pay schedule meant something and that I would be able to set my family budget with predictability. I am very appreciative of my job and I enjoy teaming with my colleagues, but I do not like having my family finances in limbo. I expect more from my employer. It is tough to explain the freezes and the impact it's had on me and my colleagues. It is frustrating to realize that I have been penalized for working through the freeze. Teachers who taught those years in other districts are now hired into this district with salaries higher than mine. It is frustrating to feel that I have to beg for respect. This truly is a nightmare and not what I expected. Our families deserve better. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Marie Carney, and I live at 8493 Timber Trail in Brecksville. We moved to Brecksville just over 3.5 years ago and selected Brecksville because of the strong sense of community and because of the excellent reputation of the schools. I want to ensure that both of these are preserved as actions are taken by this board in the next few weeks and months. I have two boys at Chippewa, one in second grade and one in Mrs. Maroney's kindergarten class. So I have a long-term vested interest in these decisions, and these discussions go far beyond just the value of my home. This is about my kids' futures. My boys will either benefit from or be negatively impacted by the actions that you will be discussing in the coming weeks. 5 days a week, I leave my most valuable assets in the care of the amazing staff at Chippewa. They are teaching them far more than just reading, writing, and Common Core math. They are teaching them to be good students who follow the rules, good friends, and overall good citizens. There are many days that these fine teachers spend more waking hours with my children than I do. There is no doubt that they are a strong and positive influence in my boys' lives and overall growth and development. At a recent board meeting, a member of this board stated that we are never at a loss of applicants for open teaching positions. As a parent, I am not sure that I want to trust the care and development of my children, our future leaders, with the cheapest and easiest to come by applicants. I want teachers who care, who support our kids when they're having a tough day, and cheer them on when they succeed, both in the classroom and outside of the classroom. I also want consistency and continuity in the classroom that comes with competitive pay. I read the board member profiles that are on the district website, and I see that most of you have children who have grown up in the Brecksville-Broadview Heights School District. Your children benefited from decisions made by previous boards that allowed them to be taught by experienced and caring teachers and have extracurricular activities that help to make them well-rounded individuals. I want to ensure that my children have the same opportunities that your children had, to have the best teachers, to be taught in buildings that support their learning, and to have access to a broad range of activities that support their interest and development. I know getting all of this is not an easy task. So, while I did not vote for all of you, I do support and respect the role that you play. As a citizen of this community that you represent, I have three expectations of you. First, I expect that you will develop a levy recommendation that supports fulfilling the most critical needs of the district and for you to support that levy. The thought that a member of the board would not support its own levy seems unheard of, but as I have recently learned, that has not been the case with past levies. Number two, I expect that you negotiate with our teachers in a timely, responsive, fair, and respectful manner. I ask that you consider the enormous value that they bring and not recommend options that you yourself would not personally consider. While managing a budget is critical to the long-term success of our students and district's reputation, so is having the best teachers who will provide continuity in the classroom. And when you interact with and make suggestions to the teachers, I ask that you consider if you would do anything different if your child was sitting in their classroom today, because my kids are. And my final expectation is that you provide facts and updates to parents and community members. I have been attending these board meetings for several months, and I'm still unclear on the facts. For example, is it accurate that the community has not had a tax increase for the schools in over 10 years? or that teachers in our district with less than 10 years of experience are making less than most school districts in the greater Cleveland area, including those we would not consider as high quality as Brecksville? When was the last time our teachers had an increase, including considering cost of living increase? And when we talk about their retirement, is it true that they're not even eligible for Social Security benefits? And finally, is it true that we are in the current fiscal situation for our district, not because of irresponsibility on the part of anyone in this room, but rather because of a significant and unexpected cut in state funding? Help us understand what's happening. Look around these rooms. These folks are not here tonight because there's no good TV on. We're here because we care about our schools, we care about our teachers, and most importantly, we care about our kids. As part of the board's responsibility as outlined online, it states, the board declares and thereby reaffirms its intent to maintain two-way communication with citizens of the district. The board shall keep them informed of the progress and problems of the school district. In almost every board meeting I have attended, a parent has asked for a forum with the board to better understand the facts. In every meeting, the response has been that Mr. Jansen is happy to meet with them one-on-one. Meeting with citizens one-on-one is not an ongoing option if we are going to educate this community on the need to pass this levy. Educate us and let us be the ambassadors. One thing I've learned in the short time that I've lived here is this community knows how to rally around something that's important. Whether it's the fundraiser at Chippewa where we made our goal without having to sell anything, letters to our state officials regarding the state budget cuts are really being there to support families in their greatest time of needs. We're great at that as a community. I promise you, if you develop a good and fair levy plan, negotiate a fair and respectful contract with our teachers, and educate us parents and citizens on the fact, I personally will give you every effort to support this levy being passed. And I believe that the parents and teachers here tonight, and those who were unable to join but are anxiously awaiting for updates, will do everything we can to ensure that this levy will pass. We can pass this levy if the board, the teachers, and the parents are united. And candidly, that rests in your hands. Please do the right thing. Our kids are depending on it.
Excuse me, in anticipation of a couple more people coming to the podium, please plan your comments so that we stay in our time limit so that others may have a chance to speak as well. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Andrew Craig and I live at 10014 Gatewood Drive in Brecksville. I'm a senior student at the high school and a concerned one. I'm concerned that once I leave school and look back upon my fellow peers that have yet to graduate, that they will not have had the opportunities that I have enjoyed. Much as I have not had the opportunities that my sister had graduating the class of 2012. As pay-to-participate fees have gotten higher and higher, many families, even privileged ones like mine, have had to cut back on student activities. This may not be a problem that has a simple solution, but I believe it is one that needs to be addressed. Some action ought to be taken, at least to not continue to make it more challenging for kids with passion to participate in activities that they love. But I believe this is only a microcosm of what is the most urgent matter facing our district, which is the pressing need for unity. With the dire need for the successful passing of the upcoming levy, so along comes the need for unity. This levy will have the greatest chance of success if the board can unify with the teachers and the community. This may not be an easy feat to accomplish, but it is one that must be given appropriate action and however many hours it may need. I do not want to leave this district without knowing that it will be standing for future generation of bees to come. They must be given the tools they need to change the world. So I'm here not to propose a solution to something I do not fully understand as school finances are insanely complex, but I'm here as a student to express my concern for myself and those growing up in this district in our elementary schools, our middle schoolers, and my fellow high schoolers. Thank you.
That's a tough act to follow. My name is Katie Barant. I live at 2247 Rusnak Trail in Broadview Heights. I want to thank the Board of Education and Cabinet for allowing us to speak tonight. I also want to thank you for all that you do behind the scenes for the children and the staff of this district. It is not an easy job, and I would not want to be in your seat this evening. My husband and I are only 2 years young to this district. We understand the academic excellence has a strong history here. And from our brief time here, we see each day that this continues. We value education, and we are so proud to call this district our new home. The love of public education runs deep, as I am a fellow educator. We have three children in the district, both at Central and at Hilton, and I want to thank the teachers that have already cultivated high-quality, rigorous learning in the most creative and loving ways. My children have been lucky enough to enter each and every classroom thus far, and I am confident that this trend will continue all the way on up. I want to say thank you to the sea of teachers behind me for rising to meet the growing challenges that have been thrown their way and for all that you do for your students each and every day. I am coming tonight out of concern that the teachers are working without a contract while the district is trying to pass a levy. That doesn't sit well with any of us. It is very challenging to pass a levy in this day and age, and I guarantee that some of your biggest champions for that levy are sitting right behind me. You have two yes votes on Rusnak Trail. It's not a hard sell for my family to pass a levy. I will be one of the community members who are willing to assist in any way that you guys indicate necessary to pass this levy. I will be in attendance to hear what's going on Wednesday. However, it is very hard for me to wrap my brain around the fact that these dedicated teachers are working without a contract. I urge the Board of Education, as well as the negotiations team, to come to a fair and reasonable agreement as quickly as possible. Having experienced the strike in Strongsville, where we lived previously, was absolutely horrific to experience as a parent. The chaos and disruption to student learning, and more importantly, safety, was utterly appalling. Please do not further delay in offering a fair contract to these deserving teachers. I know that state scores are just one piece of the puzzle, but time after time after time, they are worth the effort in securing a contract. This will ensure continued high-quality instruction and safety, which should be the absolute priority of every person in this room. Thank you very much for your time.
Good evening. My name is Matt Auble, and I reside at 7668 Winding Way, Brecksville. Tonight, I speak on behalf of the Brecksville Broadview Heights Education Association. We met as a group last Thursday to discuss where we are in the bargaining process and provide meaningful feedback to our negotiations team in anticipation of bargaining on January 31st. Our group is concerned about how our members are being impacted by the delays by the board's team in setting up dates for bargaining, as well as the board's willingness to arrive at a fair contract. The rest of the district has received what you are allowed by law to certify, a two-year deal with no language choice changes. I ask that you please faithfully conduct negotiations in a way that allows for productivity in this process. As the months have dragged on, many of my colleagues have taken on second and in some cases, even third jobs because they are uncertain about their future with this district. That might have been an accepted practice 40 years ago when some members of the board were in school. However, the added responsibilities imposed on teachers by the State Department of Education, outside work is a huge distraction from the responsibilities in the classroom as well as in their homes. Not knowing if this board will actually fully support a levy, faithfully negotiate a fair contract, or just impose a concessionary contract on the teaching staff has left them stressed. In your work realm, you call it just doing business. But to us, this is extremely personal. I respect our team, and I believe that as a group, we have given them direction. I hope that you will also give your team the ability to meaningfully bargain and reach a compromise. We know that in bargaining, it is rare for everyone to walk away having received exactly what they want. But due to the district funding situation and the board's delay in securing new money, our treasurer can only certify 2 years, this year and next year. Please don't leave our teachers in limbo, both expecting them to perform at the highest level in the classroom without a settled agreement and expecting them to go out and sell a levy campaign to the community. It is disingenuous. Why is our bargaining process being held hostage? Why aren't we worth what has already been offered to the others? The lack of commitment to our negotiations has impacted our families. and your insistence on fulfilling a campaign promise to restructure the salary schedule to be among the lowest in the county is insulting to me. Your belief that teachers will be willing to work in the district regardless of compensation is a fantasy and clearly misinformed. The path you're heading does have the potential to rip this district apart. BEA wants to resolve this contract fairly so that we can completely focus on our main goal, educating our students and passing a levy this spring. I hope you're also so inclined. Thank you very much for your time.
Good evening. My name is Rachel Resler, and I'm a 2008 graduate of Brexville Broadview Heights. I grew up at 2941 Timberwood Drive, and I now reside in Sagamore Hills. I am in the middle of my third year in the district, and I currently teach fourth and fifth grade music to every student at Central School. That is 22 homerooms a week. Even though my work with these students has stretched my patience, my stamina, my creativity, my quick thinking skills, compassion, insightfulness, and my stubbornness to adhere to a plan, I am grateful for the opportunities it presents to me. Regardless of how mature or immature, academically successful or struggling, self-aware or lacking in control, the students are the reason I am the teacher I am today. Whether working in an urban, rural, or suburban setting, this is who I believe most teachers would attribute their own growth and success. It truly is their interactions with their students. While I have had countless colleagues show me kindness, share professional advice, collaborate with, or simply remind me of a procedure I was new to as a new hire, I typically respond to the question, "So how do you like teaching?" with a response focused on my relationship with my students. The connections we build with them define our work and offer us the ultimate satisfaction of changing our world one child at a time. I am grateful for the opportunity to teach in Brexville and the chance to work with my students, but the idea that somehow all of us should be happy to work where we do, it shouldn't be about the paycheck, is a problem. We all have financial commitments we need to meet and obligations that we need to cover. We are proud and happy to be teachers, not solely because we work in a certain location. Because we are professionals, we come to work every day for our students. It is especially gratifying when we do so in a community where our efforts are recognized and respected. Taking care of our contract so that we feel valued as part of the school partnership is part of that connection. This is the work we do day in and day out, yet it is not done for us when we have years of salary freezes and are left without a new agreement at the beginning of the year because the board refuses to continue the current salary schedule. While I feel such fulfillment from my work with my students, I find myself profoundly frustrated. I want to feel respected and valued. I want the district to make the teacher contract a priority and demonstrate a belief in our staff. Even if each of us is replaceable, the question is, how long will they stay? When the reality is that we can find a more supportive environment elsewhere. I want to feel good about working in Brexville. Feelings of appreciation lead to inspiration and creativity. My students, their parents, and my school community have done their part. I am asking you, the board, to recognize that there are many of us who view teaching as a vocation. Instilling respect is how you work with us, whether it be through negotiations or collaborative opportunities. It matters. You want quality educators? Well, you have them. I am a well-credentialed graduate of BBHHS, and yet I find myself considering other opportunities outside of the district. I am not alone in this. We are faced with such a lack of hope, a wage freeze, frozen contracts, and yet we still make our students proud to be a part of our schools. Perhaps there are other students who would appreciate our efforts without the stress of wondering what will happen next regarding our salary and benefits. It should have an uneasy feeling in the stomach of the public and you, the board, that we continue to give in such a time of uncertainty. At a certain point, enough will be enough. It is not very reasonable, it is a very reasonable assumption, that younger teachers will not stay somewhere where they are not compensated fairly, negotiated with as valued members of our students' lives. And sadly, I am one of them.
Hello, I'm Maggie Stumpfel. I live at 8661 Hollis Lane in Brecksville. I have three children in the district, a sophomore, a seventh grader, and a fifth grader. And I want to say I've been coming to these meetings. I know a lot of parents in the community, teachers, members of the board, and I don't really think there is a lack of respect for anybody in this room. I think the parents work very hard. They put their children first. I think the teachers are talented, hardworking, and they understand that we have a good thing here. And I think the board, I think everybody ran so that they can make this a better community and a better school district. So I think that is settled, and I think what we need is more people in the community, such as myself, just stepping up and saying, hey, let's pass this levy, let's do it. Let's go out there in May, let's make it happen. Let's get a turnout, and what we need, and I think it's obvious, is we need more money. This sounds like you're going through a divorce. I mean, I'm a child of divorce. I don't want to watch this again. So everybody loves each other. I love you. Let's go pass a levy.
Perhaps if we can have just a couple more, and that'll pretty much chew up our time.
Hello, my name is Erin Bogus, and I live at 10920 Greenhaven Parkway in Brecksville. First off, I'm going to apologize for my nervousness. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone, but I feel the teacher's contract is such an important issue that I needed to say something. I want to start this evening by saying how incredibly blessed I am to live in such a great school district. This school district is the main reason why we are here. I have two daughters enrolled in the district, one in the middle school and one in the high school. When my friends and coworkers talk to me about problems in their children's schools, I tell them they should move here because the schools are wonderful. The teachers are making that happen, so the fact that they are working without a new contract frustrates me. I want us to take a minute and think of this district as a great car. It's really clean, it runs well, it has all the bells and whistles you would want in a car. Our car is the envy of other communities that want their car to be like our car. And our car is the engine. The teachers are the well-running engine that drives everything else. Our car cannot run without it. With any car, you need to put money into it to keep it running, to keep it great. If not, over time, the car starts to break down. The breakdown starts slowly. But one day you realize you're really behind in your maintenance schedule. Things are starting to rattle. The car is starting to rust. Fluids are beginning to leak. As a community member, I don't want our car to break down. I know our engine, the teachers, are going above and beyond. I know this because I've seen it. My daughters and I receive emails from them at all hours of the day, including weekends. We have received emails as early as 6 a.m. Teachers in this district have also offered their personal time to come in early or stay late to help their students. I cannot thank them enough for how they are helping my children. So, with that being said, I urge the board members to please work with the negotiating teams to get the teachers a new contract as soon as possible. Otherwise, I'm afraid that one day we will look back nostalgically and say, "Do you remember that great car we used to have? It's too bad we didn't take care of it." Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ray Andrews. I live at 10164 Hickory Ridge. I don't do this very often. I think the last time I spoke in front of a school board, it was 1978 or 79, and it was a lot colder, and there was this giant sculpture of a whale in front of Wallings Road School. I remember that still. But anyway, I've lived in Brecksville for the past 23 years, and we've been blessed to have four daughters that have graduated from this terrific school district. And I stand here today in favor of the teachers of this district. In addition to being parents, taxpayers, and homeowners, my wife Lynn and I owned a business here in Brecksville for 20-some years. And we like to think back at, you know, what made us successful. We actually won the Weatherhead 100 eight times in a row. And if you know what that is, that's all based on sales growth. What we did is when we sold the business, we looked back on what made us successful. And it was, you know, we had a terrific, dedicated team of employees. We also thought that we've treated them fairly and with respect. And the third thing that we did is we prided ourselves in taking a solution that was creative and innovative to the market, because we sold against the biggest and best companies in America, and were successful at it. Now, just in looking at talking to neighbors, reading what's public record, and this has all been said before, but it looks like our teachers have had a freeze since 2012 through 2016. I'm not sure if any of us would accept that in our personal lives. And if my math is correct, you have to excuse me, because I went to parochial school all 16 years. But they, in order for a teacher to receive a horizontal pay raise, they have to go out and pay for a class, which in my mind, it looks like it's a two-year payback for them to get their tuition back. The teachers have continued to work in good faith since June, hoping that this would be settled amicably. And it kind of struck me that, you know, the administrative and classified staff were able to receive a 1.5% pay raise while our teachers were basically left to the side. You know, and I hate to say this, but I've heard from several residents that, you know, that there are people on the board that, you know, don't feel that the success of our school is a result of the teachers that we have. And I'm here to say that it is. You know, my four daughters are a testament to that. Our youngest daughter is a fourth year pharmacy student, and she had the courage a few years ago when there was talk about dropping the AP to come in front of the board and suggest that that was a huge mistake. She realized when she went to the University of Kentucky how far ahead she was everyone else in that school as far as what she was able to take to the table. She felt that her first year and a half was a review for her sciences. So I just say that. I know that the teachers are the biggest part of our budget, you know, but they're also our most valuable asset. You know, they really are, and they need to be treated accordingly. And I really wasn't going to do this, but I am. I heard this probably at church or somewhere, but I read a book recently, and this parable came up. And there was this young man. You know, he lived with his two blind parents in the forest, and he took care of them, and he had an affinity to animals. And the king of that country went out and he was hunting deer, and he shot the young man by mistake with a poison arrow. Well, miraculously, a god came down, and he told his parents, "You can have one wish, and here are three choices. You know, one is that you can have your eyesight restored." They were blind. The second is you could have your health of your son restored. And the third is that you could have a pot of gold. You know, so ponder that for a second. And the parents did. And their answer was, "We wish to see our son carrying a pot of gold." So my challenge to you is that I hope that the board and the teachers can come up with this lateral type thinking that will make it a win-win for everyone down the road. Our children deserve it. Thank you.
Thank you. This will be the last comment for this evening.
Do you want to go? Do you want to go ahead?
My name is Ann Kelly, 4345 Granger Road, Akron, Ohio. I too am a graduate of this district, and a member of BEA, and a school counselor. Experience matters. Preserving a core of quality, experienced educators is key to maintaining consistency of fine education for our students. This heritage has been built over the decades by educators who have spent their entire careers of 30, 35 or more years in this district. There used to be a time in this district when the best and brightest were recruited, rewarded, and retained because there had been a recognition by previous boards of education that experience matters. Longevity is important and is an integral part of this district's wonderful reputation. When a staff member retires, we welcome the newcomer who is hired for that position. But our programs have consistency because of the combined experience of those in that grade level, team, or department. Differing levels of experience balance each other. The first-year educator has new ideas and energy that is perfectly complemented by the lessons learned from years of working with students that their more senior colleagues have acquired. Educators who have been part of this district for years know and are committed to students, parents, and communities. This understanding does not occur overnight. Now in my 29th year in education, with 15 years of experience as a school counselor, I have honed my craft so that I can read situations and respond accordingly. My experience has taught me how to work with families and create meaningful relationships. Particularly in crisis situations, students and families rely on my expertise to identify and provide the right services for them so that positive resolutions can be realized. Imagine an entire staff with very little or no experience. What would inexperience do to the heritage of fine education and this district over time? Without seasoned employees, the quality of education will suffer. You get what you pay for. A less experienced staff would, however, save the district money. A lot of money. The board's proposed restructuring of the salary schedule, which was presented to BEA prior to bargaining, encourages staff members to leave within their 15 years of this district. According to this schedule, educators with 15 years of experience and a master's degree would be paid less in Brecksville Broadview Heights than educators in 20 nearby districts, including the premier districts of Beechwood, Orange, Solon, and Hudson. We would no longer be competitive with these. Educators in Brecksville Broadview Heights would also earn less than those in Maple Heights, Garfield Heights, and Berea. I am asking that this board work collaboratively with the BEA to come to a fair resolution now. I am asking that this board recognizes that experience matters and to show that with a salary schedule that values and rewards longevity. Employees are assets to invest in, not costs to cut. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the comments this evening. I know there's probably quite a number of folks who would like to come to the... There's just one more?
I'll be quick.
There's just one more.
I won't let my AP teacher in me come out. I just want to challenge the board because there's a huge conundrum facing the district at this time. The teachers need to be compensated. You've heard that enough over and over. I'm not going to repeat it. But there's a huge part of the community that now wants pay-to-play to go away. Not totally, but not to the financial, I don't want to say windfall, because I know the district is in financial distress. But the seniors at Brecksville, from the time they were in kindergarten, have not experienced a levy. The $1 million that was brought in when they were in kindergarten would now require 1.25 if you average out the cost of inflation over those same years. None of us could operate our households like that. If you did, your household would fall apart. Lastly, I just want to commend Vanessa. She did an amazing job. She did the research that twice before I've been up here talking about the public trust that you have, and you failed because a senior in high school found the research that you promised us that you had, and you did by saying Our pay-to-play is equal to those around us, and it's not even close. Your challenge? You have two different groups now. The teachers need compensated, and pay-to-play has to go. And unless you can appease that in the community, the levy's not going to fly. I wish you the best of luck. I wish our community the best of luck. We really need it.
Thanks very much for all of the inputs this evening. We appreciate the enthusiasm and the heartfelt comments. Item number four is board member committee reports. A, financial liaison audit.
Ongoing, I expect it to end someday soon. Favorably.
Favorably. PI?
Well, we met and interviewed some architectural firms last week because, as everyone should be aware, you know, we have facility situations in front of us, and so we're just kind of trying to get out in front to see who we want to work with to help us plan the road ahead, and anything that we end up with will obviously involve much of the community engagement, so more to come on that.
I said we had, is this mic on?
Yeah.
So we had met earlier last week, a small group of us to interview architectural firms. We're looking at doing something with facilities. We've had a couple of reviews of our facilities and some various options. As most people are aware, we have a building that's 100 years old, many that are 60 years old, and so we need to take a look at where we're at with our facilities, and we're looking at collaborating with an architectural firm to help us chart the path ahead, and whatever path that is will involve tremendous amounts of community engagement, staff engagement, student engagement to help figure out where we want to go.
The only thing, the other thing in the name of communications on PI is the permanent improvement budget is separate completely from the operating budget. I'm sure that there will be a number of rumors floating around as to what this committee will end up choosing. All we can tell you this evening is that any and every opportunity and option remain on the table. It's going to be a very lengthy process, certainly one that won't be resolved quickly and certainly will be enacted even more slowly. C, transportation appeals. Best answer. Board Policy Committee, we took care of that last month. CVCC?
There's a STEM Expo. If you would check the CVCC website, I apologize. I cannot remember the date, but it is February. I believe it's February 8th, but it's a large STEM Expo, and you want to bring your students and or encourage your students to come and bring your kids. There's a lot of people they can talk to and learn about a lot of careers in the STEM field. So please check out the CVCC website. Thank you.
Any other reports? I'd just like to take a moment with a good-sized audience here tonight to touch on a few things that are obviously of great importance both to the board, the district, and the community. Pay to Participate runs the district, costs the district about $520,000, and as everybody in this room is well aware, those funds are all paid by parents and families. Those funds cover two areas. They cover transportation and they cover coaches. They do not cover uniforms, janitorial work, upkeep of fields and such. That is separate. With respect to trying to contain the costs related to Pay to Participate, as you probably know, we've changed leagues in the past year, 2 years. Which actually brings us a little closer to home, a little less further travel afield. Much to the chagrin of our coaches, those salaries no longer increase with general wages or inflation. They're fixed amounts regardless of where the person is with their experience. So those are some of the things that we're trying to do to contain those costs. There have been a couple comments this evening about the history of where we've been. And Rick, I know, has assembled a specific history of the pay-to-participate fees over time, and it paints a very troubling picture. The board is well aware of the strain that it puts on families. There's been a lot going on in the past number of years leading into and coming out of the recession. As many people here well know, we ceased high school busing as a cost-saving measure. We took all of our pay-to-participate fees and transferred those directly to our families. We negotiated a four-year salary freeze with our employees because we went three consecutive new money levies that didn't pass, although by narrower and narrower margins each time. And we reduced programming, which is another way of saying we don't have as many people working with us as we used to. All of these things did not exactly help our district. We know that. There's no revelation in the month of January of 2017 for this board. Let's discuss the levy for a moment. We haven't had the vote. That's number five on the agenda. The motion will be to put a 5.99 mil levy on the ballot in May. That would generate nominally $6 million a year starting in 2018. We have indeed been 13 years, and I commend the person who brought up that an entire generation of our students have gone through this district without their families experiencing a past new money levy. There have been three failures. There have been four renewal levies that have been transferred to continuing status to shore up our financial picture. So we've got a levy coming up. Believe it or not, teams squabble, and we're all on the same team. Doesn't matter which viewpoint you have or hold most dear this evening, we are all on the same team. We need this levy to pass in May. And I would like to point out that, as you well know, in the November elections, hundreds of millions of dollars were spent trying to convince the other side to change their mind. What's going to make this levy pass for our district this year is not changing the people's minds who have voted no on every levy since time immemorial. What's going to make this levy pass is that our newly minted 18-year-old seniors register to vote and do vote. It's going to mean that we show a united front in the public. It's going to show, what's going to matter is that we do not activate no votes. Think about it for a minute. We need to activate and get the people that are going to vote yes to the polls in May. Yard signs activate both sides. Public displays activate both sides. We're in this as a team, folks. We need the support. If you haven't met with your levy committee yet, please do so. We're going to need a concerted effort, and I thank you in advance. Item five, other board measures. A, resolution submitting the question of an additional tax levy for the purpose of current expenses to the electors of the Brexville Broadview Heights City School District, as in tab one. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. I'd like to take a moment and ask my colleagues to join me in signing a letter to the editor, which I'd take a moment and read. Dear editor, we, the members of the Board of Brexville Broadview Heights Board of Education, respectfully request your support for a new 5.99 mil operating levy on May 2, 2017. We are a premier district ranking 8th out of over 600 districts statewide via the 2016 state report card, and require new money to continue providing our students with top quality education, which in turn helps maintain higher property values. Fiscally responsible leadership has allowed us to operate more than 12 years without new taxes, despite new money levies failing in 2009, 2010, and 2011. Various cost controls, such as layoffs, busing reductions, pay freezes, and fee increases were put in place, which bought us additional years, but it is now time for new funding. Since 2012, the state has cut the district's funding by a total of more than $8 million, with more cuts planned, adding to our financial pressures and leaving us with few alternatives other than seeking increased contributions from our communities. Passage of this levy will allow us to continue to pursue science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM programs, to prepare students for their futures. It will support our efforts to teach students valuable critical thinking skills and better equip them for college and 21st century jobs. The additional funding will help ensure the growing use of technology and allow us to provide reasonable relief for the highest pay-to-participate fees, which are now 100% in the state. The entire Board of Education, Brecksville Mayor Jerry Ruby, and Broadview Heights Mayor Sam Ally endorsed this much-needed levy. If you have any questions about the levy, please contact any of us or our superintendent. If my colleagues would like to sign this letter to the editor, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Kathy. Item B, resolution to approve the following list of firms for legal counsel representation during 2017. Smith Peters Khalil, Chester L. Sumter and Associates, Fisher and Phillips, Peppel and Wagner, Squire Patton Boggs. Additionally, the Ohio State Board Association and the law directors for the cities of Brecksville and Broadview Heights may be used as appropriate. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Comment or question? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Item 5C, resolve to approve the minimum wage for affected positions from $8.10 per hour to $8.15 per hour in accordance with the new Ohio minimum wage law effective January 1, 2017. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Comments or questions? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion carries 5-0. Item number 6, superintendent's announcements. Joelle?
Thank you. I would first like to congratulate the entire staff of Central School. Central School, I got a call on Thursday from the Ohio Department of Education. Central School has been nominated by ODE as one of only three schools in the state of Ohio to be nominated for the National Blue Ribbon School Award. So congratulations. While we're talking about very successful staffs, not so successful microphone, I'd also like to congratulate the staff at Chippewa Elementary. Chippewa Elementary was nominated to OAESA to receive the School Hall of Fame Award. So congratulations to Chippewa school staff as well. She's going to yell at me, but that's okay. I'd also like to congratulate Ms. Shannon Williams, who is over here trying to hide from me. For those of you who do not know, Shannon was nominated as the Gatorade Ohio Volleyball Player of the Year. She is up for a national award. We'll be finding out soon. You can see part of her story tomorrow evening on Channel 5 at 6 p.m. on the news. They came out today to film her and do a little segment on Shannon. So if you'd like to see that, it's tomorrow at 6 p.m. on Channel 5. So congratulations. I'd also like to recognize several students from the middle school who won the Scholastic Arts Winners. We had one student who won the Gold Key Award, Josh Gordon. We had several students who won the Silver Key Award, Caitlin Giacomo, Nicole Hirsch, Matthew Karakanich, won twice as a Silver Key, Logan Maraska, Maria Pinzone, Sarah Schoenknecht. Also, all won Silver Key Awards. Honorable mentions go to Julia Kreitz, who won two honorable mentions, Nicole Derlestinu, Erica Hare, Carly Johnson, Eden Kenner, Matthew Karakanich won two also honorable mentions, so did Sarah Schoenknecht, won two honorable mentions, Olivia Tagg and Amanda Weber. So congratulations to all our middle school art students. I'd also like to congratulate the students who will be performing. They submitted some auditions from the state of Ohio to present or to actually perform at OMEA conference. It'll be held here in Cleveland. So our students who were chosen to perform at this conference in front of hundreds of music educators from across the state in orchestra, Jasper Jones, who is a freshman, Chaz Backman, senior, Nick Mihalich, who is a senior, Ava Trom, who is a junior, who all got selected for band, and for choir, Noah Kronauer and Dylan Grosh-Hoy were also selected to perform, so congratulations. Congratulations, Dylan.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joelle. Number 7, Superintendent's Consent Agenda consisting of A, B, and C, Certified, Classified, and Supplemental Recommendations in tabs 2, 3, 4. May I have a motion, please?
So moved. So moved.
Second. Tab A under Certified Recommendations, this is going to add about a 0.1 of FTEs for our certified staff. This additional need for speech-language services is needed for out-of-district students who are placed out-of-district and some new move-ins. Classified recommendations, there are no additional FTEs. Supplemental recommendations, I will have some comments after your vote.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes. Motion passes 5-0.
I would like to congratulate and wish best wishes to Deborah Reck on her pending retirement effective July 1st. She has been 20 years with us as a special ed assistant, so congratulations to her. And also I'd like to send out a thank you to Mr. Jason Black, who resigned his position as head football coach. He told the kids today, and I have in all of my years never seen kids show such respect for their coach. It was really an amazing after he announced every single one of our players went up, thanked him personally, gave him a hug. It was great. So thank you, Jason, for the impact that you've had on our football program.
Thank you. Number 8, Superintendent's Business, items A through D in tabs 5 through 8. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Items A and B are yearly service agreements through the ESC to work with our kids with hearing impairments and visual impairments. Letter C is the registration gateway agreement. This is replacing InfoSnap. Our contract with InfoSnap was expired in the end of December. We looked at another way to provide that same service at a lower cost to our district. So registration gateway is that replacement agreement for InfoSnap. And our donations to schools include a clarinet and cash donation to the high school and a Washington, D.C. scholarship and a donation for Media Center furniture to the middle school.
Questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Number 9, Treasurer's Consent Agenda, items A through D in tabs 9 and 10. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Rick?
In lieu of the screen, if you'll go to tab 9, the second page, the financial report will be available on the website in the morning. I think it posts actually at midnight tonight. On the revenue side for the first six months of the fiscal year, we're showing a negative variance of $154,000. $122,000 of that is timing on TPP replacement and supplemental funding from ODE. Fully expect to receive that. I can't figure out the timing with ODE's payments for that, but I do believe we'll get it within the fiscal year, so I'm comfortable with that number. The $42,000 on the all other operating revenues is largely timing on investment maturities being different this year than past years. Fully expect that we'll make up that money by year end. On the expenditure side, we're showing an overall variance of $817,000. More than half of that is in personnel services and retirement insurance benefits. We have the one contract negotiations that is ongoing, and I did budget for raises for that particular group as well. And given that that is not settled, those are still sitting there as positive variance at this point in time. The fringes come along with that. There'll be a modification of that in January as well. The other items for purchase services, supplies, capital outlay, and other objects, those are budgeted amounts for buildings and departments to use that have not been utilized. If we can keep having a mild winter like is happening right now, we'll have some savings in that purchase service one for sure, because we've continued to budget for gas as if we would experience a normal Ohio winter, which hasn't happened for a couple of years. The other operating transfers out is just a timing piece with the, you'll see one of my later items is asking to transfer funds for the high school free reduced lunch students who get fee waivers. So if there are questions with that, I'll be happy to try to address those. Otherwise, I'll address the other three items. The appropriation modifications, Fund 019 are miscellaneous grants we received. Those are foundation grants largely, but we do get some private family grants. A couple of those this year have happened, in particular with our special education department. So requesting the ability to be able to expend those funds in full. Fund 499 is a new CAPA grant that was received from the state. That's why it's in a 400 rather than a 500 that happens when they get a federal grant. And funds 572 and 590 are just slight modifications of adjustments that were made by the Department of Education for mid-year allocations. That's fairly typical at this time of year. The transfer of funds, last month I had asked for you to transfer from general fund to our resale accounts in each of our schools. We didn't have all of the data in from the high school. Theirs isn't quite as simple because of the course selections that occur with high school students over a standard $40 fee that typically happens at the elementary schools that we're able to easily calculate. So that one is delayed a month. Typically that work gets done by the high school staff over the winter break. So would ask for your approval of that, and then the minutes that have been presented for you for the regular meeting and two special meetings.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. I'd just like to take a moment now that he's made it through the meeting. I'm not sure if many of you are aware, but Rick had an emergency appendectomy a short time ago that it was a little dicey there for a minute.
A little bit.
But there's a little less of Rick here than there usually was, and we're happy for that.
That's probably a good thing.
Item 10 is executive session for the purpose of reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees concerning their compensation or other terms and conditions of employment per Board Policy 0166. Item E, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now be in executive session. I'd like to offer everybody a belated Happy New Year. Thanks for your enthusiasm and for attending this evening.
Levy kickoff meeting Thursday.
Is
So Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday at 7? 6:30?